you know, getting away from the norm means getting away from people like me and your kids. Ladies, really, take advantage of these upcoming events. They're a lot of fun, as well as you get to meet other ladies in the church that that really can do life together with. And the women's team, make sure you get signed up for that. There's limited space. When that fills up, it fills up. The limit is 500, about 500 people, and every year there's a waiting list. So please get signed up early so we can make certain that to accommodate you if you desire to attend that. But this morning, before I introduce Pastor Walker, it's somebody's birthday this morning. It's Steve Moore's birthday. Isn't that nice? Happy birthday, Steve. And Steve's mom is here visiting with him this week. And so in respect to his mother, I will only say nice things about Steve today. No, he and Dana have been a great blessing to this church. And we're just so glad they're here. And those of you who aren't used to me saying nice things about Steve, when his mom leaves, I'll go back to the old way right away. And but sincerely, they are a tremendous blessing to this church. And he doesn't look bad for 79, does he? That's all right. That's right. And of course, your mom was 52 when she now. So that would have made your mom real old. So that's not good. So see, I just messed it up right there. If he's 79, I just put his mother way up. That's just horrible. I'm done. I should have just been mean to you. I can't be nice to you. But anyway, we're so glad you all are here this morning. We have a great, great privilege of having Walker here with us this morning. Walker Shirzy pastors Miracle Life Family Church in Lusaka, Zambia. He and Haley have been friends of mine, Michelle's, for 19 plus years now. And we've seen God do some amazing things in their life. And I mean this with utter sincerity. We know leaders across this nation and across the world, and I mean this with utter sincerity. I don't know of two people who are doing they're leading in a way with humility and the grace of God and growing themselves and touching their region and their nation in a way like this couple. God has raised them up by His grace, and they are touching that marvelous nation and those awesome people of Zambia and raising up even within the nation now, Rhema Bible Training Center. How many of you have heard of Rhema? Well, there's Rhema now Zambia, and it's basing out of their church, and it's just an incredible thing God's doing. And so we want to welcome him today and open your hearts as we pray as he comes for what God may really use today to encourage you and to lift you. Father, we thank you today. The story we're about to hear is a story of your faithfulness, a story of how when your people yield to you, amazing things happen. And Lord, let this story be reflected in every heart today, that no matter where people find themselves today, they realize that you can do the same you'll do for a church, you'll do for a person. You love us. And Lord, I ask you that as these words come forth, that there'll be encouragement to every heart, that not one soul would leave this room without being greatly encouraged, believing that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that is for them. We now receive from this ministry today, Lord, and we speak the blessing of heaven over all of their family, over Walker's family, over their ministry, over the church, and Lord, for the great things ahead in Zambia and in Southern and Central Africa. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hand as he comes, would you?
Good morning. How's everyone? It is a pleasure. It's an honor to be with you. My wife sends her greetings. In fact, through modern technology, we were just texting there while the announcements were going on. We've already had church in Zambia. Now I know many familiar faces. I think there have been two or three different teams that have come over to help and have been such a great blessing to our church and to the ministry over there. And my wife wishes she could be here, but we've got two teenage kids that are in school and doing stuff. And so, but she sends her love and her greetings very much to you. We want to just be able to thank you for all the years of love and help and support that this church has been to us in a variety of ways, in so many different ways. And I want to talk a little bit more about that later. We've been in the continent of Africa for 18 years. The first 10 we were in South Africa. The last 8 we've been in the nation of Zambia doing pastors' conferences. And then we began to we assumed a church that was there. And so much we've learned from this church to allow us to do what God has put into our hearts to do. And really our vision, kind of at the bottom of our heart, is that we want to see the Church of Jesus Christ transformed in Africa. There's a wonderful saying that the local church is the hope of the world. It is when it's running right and when it's doing the Bible. But when it's not, it really is one of the greatest disappointments in the world, is that people go to find help and only find religion or find their problems getting worse when they get there. And a church like this that is life-giving and transformational is really a role model for us. And I would imagine if we could pass the microphone around this morning, you would have a testimony of what God has done through the life of this church for you, of how your family has changed and your relationship with God has been drastically altered. And so we want to share some of those things with you today. And we thought it would be good to allow a few folks from our church to be here with you via DVD. And we've built a building, and right now we're finishing some stuff off, debt reduction and things like that. And so we've just come out of a campaign that you all are also doing something like that. And so these are some testimonies of some kids, some young people that are in our church, a lady that came from another country that found a home in our church. And so we want you just to hear some of their stories of what God can do in a life-giving church halfway around the world. So guys, go ahead and roll that DVD.
God has delivered me from sin, because I remember I used to sin on a daily basis. Going to church, I always used to be forced, literally being dragged just to go to church. But ever since I came to this church, it has just been a blessing. I now know that God, that I can do things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know that God loves me through thick and thin. And I know that if I just set my mind straight and focus on Him, He'll take me far.
God is my Father, my Savior, my Provider, and my Comforter.
Wow.
When I have no one to talk to, sometimes my mom is mad at me, my friends don't want to talk to me, I always pray to God to be on my side, to comfort me, to give me strength to live. One day I tried to, I was thinking to kill myself, but I just thought that God is great. Yes.
Were you sad?
Yes. And I never wanted to tell anyone, so I haven't told anyone up to now. My friends out there, please don't try to kill yourself. God has planned a very big plan for you. You can be a doctor, you can be a president. God has got so many things on your life. So please don't kill yourself. Just pray to Him and He'll be on your side everywhere you go.
I had a bad lifestyle before I even got into the church circles. I used to drink, I used to smoke, and I used to do so many wild and crazy things. And finally, that lifestyle caught up with me. And unfortunately, on one of those days while doing those funny things, I actually had a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah, and I had a heart attack, and later on, the valves in my heart stopped working properly. So that led to a stroke on the left side of my body. And I remember I was paralyzed for 4 months and I couldn't walk for 10 months.
Wow.
And then I started learning more about the Word. So I had gone to so many churches and been prayed by so many people and there was no healing.
Okay.
I went from this prophet to that bishop and so many people had prayed over me, but still I was still
so
sick.
So what healed you?
I can honestly say I was healed from the Word of God.
Amen.
No hands were laid on me, just living and applying the Word of God in my life. I remember just the first time I ran in a 12-month period was right here in this church.
Wow.
About 3 months ago, I remember the pastor saying, if you've got a reason to run, ran. And at that moment, I hadn't ran in over a year. And I ran all over this church building. And that was just a blessed day for me.
You can imagine being a foreigner, for example. I mean, the moment you land here, you're more like on an island. You don't have anybody to relate to around you. And I mean, the church gives you that opportunity for you to connect with others. And most important, it's not just about connecting with people, but it's connecting with people who can build you into a better person, people who you can learn something from, people can build your life positively. And New Miracle Life just gave me those kind of people I was looking for.
Amen. So those are some of the lives that have been touched, and really that's what keeps my wife and I waking up in the morning, is that there's a church where people can come with issues, with problems, like that first guy, people who sin on a daily basis. How many of you used to sin on a daily basis? Anyone? But that God's grace and His mercy and His transformational power can make a difference in the lives of people. And so our mandate is not just for our church, but to give other pastors and leaders the heart and the skills and the preparation that can happen all over our nation and the surrounding nations in our region. And so touching pastors' lives in conferences, and then raising up a new generation of ministers through Rhema Zambia. We have 92 students this year, and we are just having the time of our life following God and serving God. Now, I grew up just down the turnpike in Western Maryland from here. For 18 years, lived my whole life in Hagerstown, Maryland. And so I want to show you a picture of a scene that probably you've come to see around this time of the year during the fall. And then I want to explain a little bit about it. So does that look familiar to anyone? I understand, somebody told me yesterday that these are your pastor's favorite birds. That he just wants Victory to be a sanctuary for these lovely birds. If you want to give him a little, a little small one for his desk, he would love it. You can send him an email of a picture of one. But these are Canadian geese. And we all learned in school that they fly in a V formation. And they do that because the one in the front makes it easier for the others to fly behind them. And so the first one has a lot of work to do, to flap and to go through the air like that. But the ones that are behind the lead goose have it 70% easier being in the wake of that wind. And if they've ever flown over your house or where you are, you'll hear them honking. And they're not talking. They're not giving directions. They're not saying, let's stop at the 7-Eleven for a Slurpee or something. But what they're doing, and I don't know how they figured this out, but they did. But these other geese that are behind the lead, the one that's in the front can't see the ones that are behind them. They can only look ahead. But that honking is for encouragement. That honking is saying, we're here. Keep flapping. We're with you. Don't give up. We're not where we need to go yet, but we're all together. And so they honk and they honk and they honk, and it's encouragement. And so I came halfway around the world today to give Victory Family Church a big honk honk. Because that's you, the one in the upper right-hand corner. That's Victory. That's you guys over the last, has it been 18 years, 19 years, in this church, setting the standard and doing things that have never really been done in this region, and going through all the things that you've gone through. And Miracle Life Family Church in Lusaka, we're kind of halfway back there. And we've learned so much from this church and so much from your pastors and your staff and all the things that we have been able to put into practice because we saw it here first. When we began to pastor, we had never pastored before. And we had been in ministry, and so I knew how to teach the Bible, but I quickly discovered that pastoring a church is a lot more than teaching the Bible. A lot more. In fact, this is really easy because it's God's Word with God's anointing, and it's a lot of fun. All the other stuff that's what's giving me these gray hairs right here. But the things that we saw here, we've been able to put into practice. And I believe it's a biblical concept that God allows people, and He raises up certain groups and churches and ministries so that other people, we can learn from them. And this is a church that happens to be one of those kinds of churches. You guys are going first. God kind of threw you in the deep end so that other people could come alongside and to learn and to help. The Bible says this. It's always good to use the Bible in a sermon, right? Philippians 4:9 says this. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians. And the peace of God will be with you. So it's not just a matter of hearing. It's not just a matter of learning. But it's a matter of what you see in someone else. All of you that raise kids know that what you tell your kids is not as much as important as what you do in front of your kids. They will imitate you, all right? And they will follow what they see you doing. And this is a biblical concept. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who first taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and trust the Lord as they do. The NIV says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Another translation says, whose faith follow. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a ministry, Miracle Life Family Church, that's in the nation of Zambia. Some of you don't know where that is. That's okay. All right, I actually didn't know where Zambia was before I got there. But there's a church that is following your faith. Not the style of your carpet. Not all these beautiful, wonderful lights that you have behind you that make me look so nice. But what it is we're following your faith. As you trust the Lord, as you make decisions, and the way you are following God, we are watching. And I can assure you there are a whole lot of other people that are watching and that are learning. There'll be people that will come from this church that will go out and be able to do things in their lives because of what they learned in these four walls. And pretty soon in another building that will have bigger walls, farther walls, extended walls than just this one. So I want to encourage you today. I want to give you a honk honk about different things that we've seen in your faith, how you've done it, and then how that has inspired us to do a very similar thing in the nation of Zambia. One of the things that we follow in your faith is that Victory, you all have crazy faith, big faith, faith that sometimes doesn't make sense. I remember your pastor telling me when you were all at the old building and it was becoming too full and it was time to build, and God put in your pastor's heart to believe God, said, believe me for land that Walmart wants to buy. That means land that's not somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I think there was other land that was cheaper, that was easier to get, but this land was expensive. This land forced you to put in a traffic light that cost $750,000, I believe. Your pastor says for that, it should do your laundry, raise your kids, and educate you. But things that are kind of outlandish to do, Victory just says, you know what? It's big, but we are simply going to do it anyway. You know, churches like this, and I grew up in this part of the world, it's not normal. Where I grew up in Maryland, churches don't grow, they shrink. And the two churches I was associated with where I grew up, both of them are smaller than the one I used to be there. Churches don't build buildings. Churches don't buy land. And so this is a church that God has allowed and has helped to do big and crazy things. And so when our church realized about 5 years ago that our facility, our rented facility, would never hold our future, and there was no place that we could go and renovate, we couldn't go to a shopping center and anything like that, we had to buy land and build a building. Having never done that, I had never done that. Our church had never done that. We didn't know what to do. And so we began to search for land for a year and a half. Not for the right land, for any land. We live in a capital city, and so all of the land was gone. And when I would tell people, we want 20 acres, they would literally laugh in my face. And so we got word out. And I remember a sweet lady one time, I went and presented something, and she found out we were looking for land, and she called me up. She said, "Pastor, I've got some land for you. You can build a church." And I said, "Well, where is it?" She begins, "Oh, it's a beautiful location." I said, "How much is it?" She says, "It's 1 acre." I said, "Well, we're going to need a little bit more than that, but thank you for calling." And so for a year and a half, we knocked on doors, we begged people. And then finally, someone approached us and asked us, they were doing a big development, and they said, "Would you want to buy 20 acres of our development?" And we said yes, and we bought it, made the down payment, raised the money, and then we landed up in court for a year because they decided to change the contract. They actually told me this. They said, I said, "But we signed a contract, and we paid you money, and it's all signed, it's all legal." And the lady told me, she said, Well, here we believe that signing a contract is just the beginning of negotiations." I said, "Well, excuse me, ma'am, where I come from, it's actually the end of negotiations." Zambia is kind of like, you know, Forrest Gump about Vietnam. It's like this whole other country. And it has its own unique challenges. And so we just continued to trust God and believe God. And we finally got the land and we began to plan and to say, what is this building going to look like? And we found a wonderful architect and who was going to be our project manager. And that first picture that you saw, you know, he designed that and presented it to that. And that exact picture that you saw, he presented to our church. And 3 weeks later, he went to heaven. He died. And so this guy that we had thought, you know what, he's going to be able to be with us for the next 20 years as we build, he wasn't there. And unfortunately, his replacement didn't work out too well. Challenges, things that we had to overcome. But we had a church like this that had already gone before us and had faced challenges. I remember when this facility was being built and you were raising the money and doing a capital campaign and everyone's getting excited and getting ready to pledge and to give. On the Sunday you were supposed to pledge was the Sunday after September 11th, 2001. What do you do? Now what do you do? Well, what did Victory do? They just did it anyway. They're not going to let Al-Qaeda stop the plan of God. And faith means you don't stop when it's tough. Something else, another part of your faith that we have followed and that we've seen is that you have tenacity to your faith. A dog that gets a hold of a bone and won't let go. Faith that will not be denied. And so it has taken that for what we have had to do. Your pastor encouraged me as we were about to do our building project. And just to give you some context, in the nation of Zambia, 70% of the nation of employed people are unemployed. A medical doctor earns $3,000 a month. A school teacher will earn $600 a month. The standard of living for those who have a standard of living is nothing like a developed country. And so we're going to build a building that's going to cost $4 million. Our church budget when we went there was $100,000 in 1 year. In 1 year, that was our church budget. And now we're supposed to build a building for $4 million. That's impossible. That doesn't happen. But guess what? It did. It happened. There's a lot of stories of how it happened. But it took a church like this to help us see the way. And last year in May, your pastor came and he preached the very first service in our building. And some of you all were there. And I met somebody last service said, "Pastor, we were there scrubbing the toilets and helping you get that open." But on that Sunday, I remember the day before I was sweeping the floor and a lady from our church came. And she was looking up at the ceiling and everything, looking around. She said, "Pastor, for the first time in my life, I've seen faith become sight." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful, but get used to it. Here and in your life. Because what God says, God will do." Amen. Tell your neighbor, "Honk, honk." One of the darkest days that I faced was last year and some things that... You know, as we write our book, there have been a few chapters that have been fun, a few adventure. There's been a few horror stories, you know, of things that we've had to face and gone through. And on that Sunday, I really didn't know if I was going to have a church. I didn't know if there would be a future. And one of the things when Pastor John got up, and I think God had just kind of shown you in the spirit during the praise and worship. And he saw our whole campus was green and it was developed and there were buildings. And I realized that we're going to make it. Now, I don't know if I'll be there for all the buildings to be built, But it's going to happen. The plan of God is going to happen in our nation. And even though it's tough, even though there are adventures along the way, tenacious faith will not let go. Something else, the faith, the victory that we follow, is that you all just don't have faith for buildings and parking lots and traffic lights, but you all have faith for people. God's commodity. The reason Jesus came to the earth was not to build buildings, but to reach people. And these buildings are just simply expensive tools to reach people. And the heart of victory is to touch generations for Jesus. And to allow your heart to move in that direction. And so the stories that we've heard and the stories that come out of our church of lives that have been restored and people that whose marriages have been turned around and literally the humanity, the train wrecks that come and find into our church. Because when I got there, I began to let people know that if you're messed up, you can come to this church. And evidently, word got out. Word got out. And so I remember one of the guys that's on our board, wonderful guy, serves in our church, is just such a blessing. And someone came up to him and he said, you know what, your church, Miracle Life, your church is just full of thieves and prostitutes. Now it's not, all right. I've met some of the thieves. I've not necessarily met any of the prostitutes, thankfully, all right. But just think about it. If there was a church that was reaching thieves and prostitutes, is that a bad thing? Jesus said that it is the sick that need a physician. And that is something that we've seen here at Victory, is to open the doors to the world and say, if you are troubled, if you are hurting, there is a place that will love you and not just tolerate you, but will help you. And redeem your life from destruction. And pour in the oil and the wine. And let the word of God and the love of God and connections with other people transform your life. That is faith that we follow halfway around the world. Something else we've learned from Victory is that to have faith to build a team. And when we first visited Victory, you were in one theater at Cranberry Shopping Center. And I know you moved into many of the other theaters, but that Sunday was just one theater. I believe your pastor used to be the praise and worship leader. Yes. I know he's thankful that he's no longer doing that. But it takes a team. It takes people. And to do big things, you need big people. You need high-quality folks. And so we began to realize that the vision that we had, we could no longer do ourselves. Just with my wife and my wife can literally do the work of 10 people, but she can't do the work of 100 people. And so we were really struggling. And I remember a lunch that we had with your pastor and Pastor Steve, and they just began to encourage us. You've got to get different people around you. You've got to get some quality people that will help you build. And we began to describe somebody that we were thinking about. And a lady that's now on our staff is Zandile Shaba. And she was the managing director for a bank in our nation. She did so well, they moved her to another country. And probably, without exaggerating, she had one of the top 10 paying jobs in the whole nation. And in Africa, you don't just give up a job like that for the fun of it or because you want to find yourself or go to the woods and be an artist. These is something very... And she had studied, she had done her MBA, and she had reached it. But we asked her, would you come and consider giving that gift to the body of Christ and to the church? And honestly, to our shock, she said yes. We thought we had won the lottery. And she took an incredible pay cut to come and serve the body of Christ. Not because she had to, but because she wanted to. And now our load is getting lighter. And now, I mean, this is someone that sits on boards. When she went to the nation of Zimbabwe, she, for the National Chamber of Commerce, she won Zimbabwean Businesswoman of the Year. And she works at our church. How did we think that way? Because of Victory's faith. We would have never had the audacity to even think that something like that was possible. We kind of thought, you know, hire maybe a 16-year-old bookkeeper and train them up and hopefully they'll become Einstein one day. It wasn't working. We were dying. We were struggling. And so now we have a completely different mentality of how to build a team and the type of people that are going to take us to our destiny with us. And that is something we can thank Victory for. Amen. Tell your neighbor, honk, honk. Something else we learned from this place was that the leader that I needed to be and my wife and what our church needs us to be, and I regularly tell our church this, that you don't have the senior pastor that you need 3 years from now. I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to invest in myself. No one else is going to do that for me. I can't get zapped somewhere. It's not a matter of just getting a download, but I'm going to have to work through personal issues. I'm going to have to grow my leadership. I'm going to have to stretch and expand my thinking. Why? Because as we go to higher levels, I've got to become a different person. Where did I learn that? I learned it here. And I've watched your pastor and his wife do that for the last 20 years. Day by day by day, year by year by year. I remember your pastor telling some of our leaders one time that, and he was commending and he was instructing them. He said, when you drive to the grocery store, you don't get to listen to the radio. You don't get to listen to Christian music. You've got to listen to something that's going to change your life. You've got to listen to something that's going to expand your thinking and grow your capacity. How do we learn that? Because of a church like this that has put that faith into practice. And now the favor of God that God has allowed us and connected with other folks. In November, my wife and I, we got invited among 13 pastors from the entire continent of Africa to go to Willow Creek Community Church for an entire week to spend with their staff. 13 folks that we get to learn from some of the smartest people in the world when it comes to growing a church. How did it happen? They asked us to do that. You can't pay money for that kind of stuff. Why? Because we're hungry. Why? Because we need to change. And we learned it here at Victory. And so thank you for your faith. One of the other things we learned from you is not just to have faith for a neighborhood or for a town. I guess technically here it's a township. Somebody can explain to me what that means. I'm not sure. Or even for a metroplex. But Victory, the vision that is here, is for a region. Your pastor used to say that when there were 100 people. We're going to touch a region. And I'm sure there were people among those hundreds thinking, praise the Lord, Pastor, you go get them. It's happening today. It's happening. I know a pastor in the Toronto area that I sent to your meeting that you have. Is it July, June, July? That came down here, and he was so inspired and so transformed, and he's come again, and he's met your pastor. Why? Because you're touching your world. You're touching this area, and there will be other churches, and as much as it's amazing what you all are doing, in 20 years, there'll be churches like this in this area. It won't be so amazing. There will be other churches giving out eggs with candy to 6,000 kids on a weekend. You know how crazy that is? But it'll be the new normal around here. Amen? And so we realize, and what God has asked us to do is not just to have a church for the fun of it, but it's to shake a nation. It's to let other churches realize, you know what? You can handle money right. You can preach the word, and you can believe in the Holy Spirit without being weird. You can reach children and youth, and they're not a nuisance, that you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars to reach a generation for Jesus Christ. Why? Because a church like this had the audacity to start acting that way. Amen? Another thing that we learned from this place, and we saw it elsewhere, but we really saw it in operation, was that as much fun as we're having in this meeting with adults and there's more to Victory than just us, the grown-ups. Victory's heart is for children, it's for youth, and one of the most satisfying things that we see in our church is kids that have come up through our children's church and through our youth group and are now, and I'm doing their weddings, I'm dedicating their babies, they're taking positions of leadership in the country, because we're finding it in our church very difficult to reprogram the old folks. That's just our, that's what we've discovered. And so one of the things we've said is, you know what, we will love them, we'll bless them, we'll help them as much as we can, but there's a lot on their hard drive. There's a lot. Whereas these little kids that used to sin every day, when they see God come through in their life, there was a lady in our Bible school, and we knew that she was struggling financially, and she was a widow, had three kids that she was supporting, and there is no welfare. She has no possible way of providing for her life. When the husband dies, he was the breadwinner. She was probably not allowed to be educated. She wasn't expected to work, and so now she finds herself where she is. So the very first term of our Bible school, I was doing we call it Faith Foundations, that, and you know it from this church, that this book can be trusted. These promises that come from God, we can believe them in faith without seeing it happen, and then watch them happen. And what God said, He's not kidding, but He will actually do in your life. And so she began to realize this. And so there was one of the days in Bible school, I said, does anyone have a testimony? And she stood up, and she was so excited, she was almost angry. And she said, Pastor, I want to tell you what happened. She said, two nights ago, myself and our three kids, there was no food in the house. There was nothing to eat. And so I went to the bedroom, and I began to pray. And I began to trust God for His promises of provision and what He said in His Word. And she pointed her finger at me. She said, Pastor, I mean, I prayed. And I was like, okay, I believe you. I believe you. And she said, amen. And she got up and she said, all right, children, let's set the table for supper. And they said, but Mom, there's no food in the house. She said, no, no, no. God is a provider. We will eat tonight. Have you ever heard that? That after you pray, you need to let your mouth say what you just prayed about? And she said, we will eat tonight. And so they set the table. And she said, all right, everybody have a seat. Let's hold hands and let's give thanks to God for the food. And they said, but Mom, there's no food. Oh, no, no, no. God is a provider. We will eat tonight. And so she began to pray. She's not a member of our church. She's from another church. And she began to pray, thank God for the food. And then she said, and 3 minutes later, Pastor, someone knocked on our door with maize, with vegetables, with meat, with all these groceries. Someone from your church came and brought all these groceries to our door. And I tell you what, we rejoiced, we shouted, and I told, we just had a big time that day. Why? Because someone realized God can be trusted. Now, as cool as that is, what I told our class was, you will never have to teach those three kids faith. You will never have to tell them in a class, God will provide for you. They watched it happen. They were eyewitness to a miracle. And when you reach a child and you change a generation, things can happen. Now, your pastor, I believe God put it in his heart twice, that in our church is a future president of the nation. In fact, the current president of our nation, his grandchild, goes to our church and learns and I give him a high five on a Sunday. I've met his grandfather, our current president. He's not in our church. But touching kids and touching youth and touching singles to see what God will do with their life to completely transform a nation. And then lastly, faith that we've learned from Victory is enduring faith. Faith that will go to the finish line. You know, the Bible, there's a word, it's a powerful word, it's not a fun word, but something that we are supposed to learn and to have in our life, the Bible says, is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Patience sounds a little nicer, doesn't it? But you know what long-suffering means? It means to suffer for a long time. Now, I don't like to suffer for a short time. Now, obviously, this is not suffering things that Jesus paid for. We don't suffer with sickness for a long time. We don't suffer in poverty for our marital problems for a long time. But what it means is that there is something in life means that we run until we get there. And any of you that have ever done any training or long distance running, my son is a competitive swimmer. And I remember one time he was telling me he went to this swim camp and he swam 13 kilometers in one day. they pushed him so hard, twice he had to get out of the pool just to vomit. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound fun. But what was fun was a few weeks later when he went to an international meet and he got silver medals competing against 13 different nations. See, there's something that develops in our life when we're tough, when we run all the way to the end. And let me just commend you, Victory. You are in a wonderful race. And to see what God has done from a movie theater to where you are today, touching a city, touching an entire region, it is awesome. But I also want to encourage you, you're not done. I don't know where you are, if you're in the first half, the first third, but there's a lot of work to be done. There are more people to reach. And let me also encourage, you know, the new building that you're building, I know your pastor and the staff of this church, they are not doing it for the fun of it. It is not fun in any way, shape, or form. The fun are the people that you'll touch, the people that you will be able to reach, to be able to expand what you're doing. Because, see, someone paid for all of us to hear the gospel. And we can't repay them. But what we do is now we reach forward in time to do that for another few thousand people. And as your pastors and the leadership of this church are asking to make some big sacrifices, someone explained a sacrifice to me in this way. Sacrifice means that you give up something that is dear to you in order to obtain something of a higher value. Jesus said, lay down your life. And you know what? When I visit this part of the world and I think about growing up in Maryland, you know, I do miss the meatball subs. I miss the smooth roads. But it's been an honor for me and my wife to lay down something that's dear to us for something of higher value. For little kids, for widows, for a future generation. And Victory, keep running. Keep going. Because it's not just about you. It's about the people that are coming behind you. You know what? You can't quit because we wouldn't have somebody else to follow. How are you going to do that? Just real quickly, five things. Keep honking for your pastors. Not in traffic, but encourage them. Let them know, Pastor, we're here. We're with you. Let them know it's making a difference in your life. And let your actions show it as well. Pray for your pastors. As a family or if you're a single person in your prayer life, pray for God's wisdom. Pray that God would encourage them. And I know you have a wonderful staff that is here. And you may think they don't face things. But you know what? The Bible says that He puts this treasure in earthen vessels. We're all earth. We all face things in life. So lift them up to the Lord. Pray for their strength. Pray for their families. Amen. Pray that God will come through in their life. Be a burden bearer here. There's a heavy load. There's a heavy vision. And so take a piece of it and say, you know what? This is mine. I'm going to teach the six-year-old kids until Jesus comes. I'm going to serve in the parking lot in the winter, even when I can't feel my toes. I had a paper route in Maryland. I know what it's like in the winter. But take a part of the burden. Take a part of the vision and make it yours. Connect with this church. Allow this church to grow you and develop you into the next version of who you are. You know, software always comes out with 3.2 and 5.2. What is it? It's another rewrite, isn't it? And so God wants to transform your life. It's a lot of what you already are. It's just a new and improved version. And this church has classes. This church has so many resources that are there, not just to keep you busy or to keep you, you know, away from your family, but to invest in your life. And so when those signups come and all those things, you know what? Sign up for all the stuff. Let God grow your life. When this church has stuff going on, be right here and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And then lastly, do whatever God tells you in your heart to build that building, to pay off that building, and to get to the next part of the vision that God has. I would love to hear the report. I know I've met with your administrator, Pastor Matt Gates, wonderful, wonderful guy. But wouldn't it be awesome to hear the report that he comes and he reports to the leadership, you know what, we've paid off the building, there's no debt, I don't know what to do with all this money. Somehow I figure your pastor will find something to do with all the money. He'll say, let's buy a fleet of helicopters and we'll drop gospel tracts on the Metroplex area or something like that. But to reach people for Jesus. Amen. Do your part and realize that there's a church halfway around the world that's watching, that's cheering you on, and that's saying, honk, honk. Don't stop. Keep going. Because there is a wonderful future ahead of you, individually, but also corporately as a family of God. Amen. Would you bow your head this morning? Father, I thank you so much for this church. Father, thank you for this vision. And Father, Lord, I just link my faith with every believer here, Father, that every part of the vision will come to pass. Every part, Father, every part. Not one bit would not be done. Lord, it'll be done at the level and at the breadth of what you have designed. Father, I thank you for using people in this room to make that happen. Lord, every person has a part to play, and their part is important. It is significant to you. Lord, may this group of believers work with you and work with this vision, Lord, to see even a greater miracle come to pass. Lord, that there will be families and lives that will be transformed by you. That these grounds will be an oasis of your grace and of your mercy and what you can do in the lives of people. Father, help each and every one. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this church has a destiny. This church has a future. Every single person in this room, God has a plan for your life. The Bible says that when we were in our mother's womb, God knew us. He watched us being formed. The Bible says that He knows every hair that's on your head, everything about you, everything. And all that He knows, He loves you. He cares for you. You are important to Him. So much so that He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, not to start a world religion, not to give you a list of things to do, but so that you could be close to Him, so that you could be in His family. I grew up in a church where really what I thought about God was, it was just kind of ritual and religion, and I didn't understand what was going on. Maybe some people did, I didn't. But I later realized that God is not just about going to a church, but it's having an everyday relationship with Him, where He makes my life make sense, where He comes into my relationships and my business. He gives me a future and a hope, and there's a real place called heaven that you can go to when you die. Now, friend, this life that God has for you, it is not reserved for good people. It's not reserved for religious people. It's not for people who were water baptized or confirmed. It's for people who have accepted Jesus Christ personally. The Bible says this: to as many people as received Jesus, God gives those people the power to become children of God. You see, He stands at the door of every man's heart and He knocks. And if you'll open up, He'll come in. He'll be God to you. He'll be a father to you. And if your life is messed up, it doesn't have to stay that way. He can put the pieces back together. And it doesn't matter how far you've gone away from Him, you can come home today. If you don't know Him, today is your day. If you're far from God, maybe you're a Christian, a believer, but your life is full of rebellion, it's full of sin, bad choices. But like the prodigal son of the Bible, today is the time to leave the pig food and to come home to your Father. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. There's a party ready for you. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, you know what? I need to do that. I need to open up my heart to Jesus. It's not about joining this church, but it's about joining the family of God. And if you need to make that decision, I would love to pray with you right where you're seated, privately between you and God, so that we can pray that prayer together. I want to ask you to make a decision so that we can do this together. Would you lift up your hand? Just lift it up. Then we'll know. Yes, God bless you in the back there. Anybody else? Yes, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Oh, this is your day. This is your day. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else over here? Yes, thank you. Today is your day. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. This is a great day. This is God's day for you. Before we pray, anyone else? Say, please, I want to pray that prayer too. I want Jesus in my life. All right. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all, as a church family, let's pray with those that are praying. Just say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He came for me. He was punished for all the wrong things I've ever done. He died for my sins. You raised him from the dead so I could know you. Jesus, come into my life. I leave my sin. I leave my old life. And I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. When I die, I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.